What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. All right. Hey, what's up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Super appreciate it. We're a week away from Christmas when this episode comes out. And I want to start this episode off by, again, thanking you so much for tuning into the podcast each and every week, for the DMs, for the feedback, for the ratings and reviews for the podcast. I super appreciate it. You guys are the reason why I do this show. I love doing this show. My favorite thing that I do in the business here. And so you make it all possible. So thank you. Happy holidays to you. Hope you guys are having an amazing holiday season right now. If you've not yet left a rating and review for the show over on iTunes, it's a huge help. It allows us to reach more people with the podcast here. So thank you in advance for doing that. And thank you to all of you again for if you've already left a rating review. I super, super appreciate it. On today's episode, we're going to continue Productivity Week here on the podcast. If you've not yet heard Monday's episode, I did a bonus episode with Neil Williams, who is one of my Accelerator Mastermind students. She's a brilliant business coach who focuses on productivity and how to get more done in less time. And so on Monday's episode, she takes us through her exact system for getting that done. So if you've not yet heard Monday's episode, definitely check that out. On today's episode, my good friend Craig Ballantyne is rejoining me here on the show. I say rejoining because this is the third time he's been on the podcast. He's been on previously talking about how he sells high ticket in-person workshops, coaching programs, etc., with Instagram stories. And it was one of the more, I got a ton of feedback on that, on those episodes with Craig. And so Craig is an expert in productivity for entrepreneurs. He's written three books. The first one was called The Perfect Day Formula. The second one was called Unstoppable. And the third one that we're going to be talking about here today is called The Perfect Week Formula. And I asked Craig, I mean, I said months ago, I said, hey, when the book is ready, I want to have you on the show. And so for those of you guys who have not yet heard any of those episodes that I've done with Craig, Craig is one of my original mentors here in the online space. I've been following Craig now for, 10 years, since about 2009, when I was getting into what's going on in this whole online space. And he has a fitness background. He used to have a fitness business called Turbulence Training. And I went to a workshop of his in Denver, Colorado, I think around 2011, I want to say. So anyway, I've been following Craig for a long time. I go to him for some coaching every now and then. Just a really, really smart guy and just builds the business the right way. I mean, the subtitle of this book is Build Your Business Around Your Life, Not Your Life Around Your Business. And this is something I talk about with my Accelerator Mastermind students all the time. That's how we set their business up to ensure that we're building the life around the building the business around the life, not the life around the business. And so today we're going to be breaking all of that down. We're going to be talking about what it means to have a perfect week. We're going to be talking about how to focus on what matters, get more done, and how you can be leaving a lasting legacy in your work. Craig shares his concept of what he calls the billionaire time matrix and the four questions that you can ask yourself that can give you an extra 10 hours a week. And he breaks all that down for you today. We talk about what non-negotiables are and how to abide by them in your schedule. We talk about the three foundational habits of your perfect week. We talk about how top performers end their days that guarantee success, both in the business and on the personal side. We talk about what the blackout game is. This was something I had never even heard of Craig talk about. He said, I've actually never talked about it before, but we get into it today, what the blackout game is, how to commit to doing less while you're going to also beat overwhelm in the process. And then we finish off with what Craig calls the 7x7 grid and how it can completely transform your business and your life. And by the way, we also talk a little bit about how he wrote this book. He actually didn't write it. So he breaks down that whole process. So really interesting, even if you're not interested in writing a book, it's a super smart way to get this book done in a short amount of time. And included in that process is crowdsourcing the editing of the book. Really, really smart. So I'm so excited to dive into it here with Craig. This is a really wide-ranging conversation that with a bunch of very tactical and strategic things that you can go and implement into your business today, right away, that can truly, and I don't mean this in a light, in a snarky way at all, transform your business, or not snarky, that doesn't make sense, scammy kind of way, I don't know. This stuff can truly transform your business and change your business and your life very quickly. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Craig Ballantyne. All right, Craig Ballantyne, this is number three, I believe, on the podcast, right?
There you go.
I think it's three. One of the most commented on episodes, I say both of them, like the first one we talked about, the perfect day formula.
Were they commenting that they couldn't understand my Canadian accent, or were they commenting on what we actually talked about?
No, what we actually talked about. Because you give very tactical, very like concrete things that they can, you know, stop the podcast or when they finish the podcast, go implement it, right? Yeah. And you've talked about how to sell on Instagram, how you sell your several $1,000 coaching programs and workshop days via Instagram stories.
Yeah.
So we've covered all that. And I've been waiting for this book that we're going to talk about here on the episode for probably, I think you started talking about this over a year ago.
Yeah.
From the perspective of your first book was The Perfect Day Formula.
Wrong book.
Wrong book.
I wrote the wrong book.
And we're going to talk about why that is.
Yeah.
But, and I didn't really get it because I didn't have a kid at that time.
Sure.
And then, you know, I had Maya was born at the day that we're recording this a year ago yesterday. Her birthday was yesterday. And then it was like, oh, I get it. I get why so many people were, you know, like, wait, this doesn't work for such and such. This doesn't work for so and so. But before we get into that, let's re-let the Art of Online Business Nation here know a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So grew up farm boy, broke, struggling, introverted, socially anxious, personal trainer. So farm boy to personal trainer, binge drinker, had anxiety when my business took off in 2006. So making the most money, being in the best shape of my life and going to the emergency room twice in 2006, hired my first business coach that year, hired a lot of people to help me mentally, started changing my habits, which led to the Perfect Day Formula book. Retired from the fitness world probably in about 2015, released the Perfect Day Formula book, then wrote Unstoppable and figured out how to use Instagram. And here we are today. I think that's a pretty quick one, but a good one.
And just to recap for everybody listening, Craig is one of the very first mentors that I started following, I mean, probably 10 years ago, 2009-ish.
Yeah, we would have met after 2011 because I didn't buy Early Rise until 2011. So sometime around then that you and I met in person.
Yeah, back when I was reading your fitness stuff, reading your newsletters, okay, the emails that you were sending out. Mm-hmm. And then you did, what was it, Internet Independence for a while. And then we met at your workshop there. Now, I want to talk about Unstoppable, but I want to talk about a little bit about the Perfect Day formula, what that book was about. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory, but
yeah,
what it was about and why do you say it was the wrong book?
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainers, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit. It's a 3-day free, 100% free summit, and it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode.
Well, so what it was about was controlling an individual day, and it was about general habits and how to figure out how to get more done. I'm not super dogmatic on what time you get up in the morning. I'm not super dogmatic on certain routines and stuff, but I am big on like get up a little bit earlier than normal and do some work so that you get a victory that the world can't take away from you over the course of the day. And then basically it also broke down into control what you can, which is the morning, cope with what you can't control, which is like be prepared for the chaos of the afternoon so you can concentrate on what counts in the evening, which is most people's days, right? Like work hard, you know, deal with the emergencies and then get home for your family. Mm-hmm. And that's what that book was about. Now, of course, there are 7 days in a week, in case anybody listening is new to that concept of the 7-day week. And I, you know, the great thing is we sold a lot of copies of the book. And when you sell a lot of copies of the book, you get a lot of reader feedback and hundreds of Amazon reviews. And the neat thing, Rick, is that my most critical Amazon review, I don't know if I told you this story or not, but the most critical Amazon review is from a woman with one child, married woman with one child, and says, oh, this won't work because, and blah, blah, blah. which is fine. I get it. 3-star review. You gave me some constructive criticism. It allowed me to go back and think about that stuff for future content. The most positive review, the 5-star review that I'm most proud of, is from a single woman with 3 children who's like, everything here helped me so much. And that's a great understanding for everybody listening about the perspective of people, that you can't please everyone. And everyone, you know, if somebody's in a critical mood, they'll find a way to criticize you. But the most important thing of all that is that we heard from so many people. I spoke in front of so many audiences, and, you know, there was this type of person had this objection or this question, or what about this situation? And I, you know, I felt like I heard it all. And then along the way, I just started teaching. In fact, the very first time I taught the Perfect Week Formula, Rick, was in August of 2018 in London, England, at a workshop, at one of my small group workshops. And I taught this, and there was a couple CEOs in the room with thousands of employees, and there was a couple of independent entrepreneurs. And all day long, I just kept on pointing back at the chart that I had put up on this paper, you know, on a flip chart. And I built this 7x7 grid, and I said, you know, oh, you're struggling with that? See that box over there? That's where that goes. And they were like, yes, yeah. And it was just, it was really great. And then obviously that was the rough draft. And then I just kept on expanding it and putting in, well, okay, so you're dealing with this problem. Like, for example, here's one that I know that you and I have talked about, Rick, mm-hmm. is that presence with your family when yep. you have the phone around and that sort of stuff. So I have this friend of mine, a client and friend named Danny Lair. And Danny Lair runs a company called Caffeine and Kilos. .com, which is, it's coffee and not cocaine. It's coffee and weights.
I know the t-shirts.
Yeah. You see them all over the place. So caffeineandkilos.com, and he has 2 young kids, and he's like, oh, you know, I get home and I'm like, I'm playing on my phone and I'm playing with the kids, and it's like 2 hours go by and I feel like I wasn't present. I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I love the idea of rituals and routines, and I've helped a lot of entrepreneurs kind of leave the work behind. And I said to Danny, when you get home, because he works outside of the home, when you get home and you walk in the house and your daughter runs up to you, you guys are going to do this little ritual. And people, some people listening might think this is so cheesy and lame. And some people go, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this. But you walk in, Danny, and you say to your daughter, hey, it's time to put daddy's phone in the phone bed. And they actually made a little bed out of egg carton and a little blanket, and they put the phone in the phone bed, and the kid plays the piano. So she plays a lullaby while he does it, which is so cute, right? So the story is in the book. And here's what he found out, is that if he gave his daughter 20 minutes of pure Danny time, you know, she eventually is like, okay, peace out. I got to go do some other stuff with some dolls. And he's like, oh, it was that simple. And now he can either go and spend time with his other kid or his wife or whatever, or he could go back and do the work and be present in the work. So I don't know exactly where this is in the Constitution or Declaration of Independence or whatever it is. I'm not American, so I don't know this stuff. I love America, but I'm not an American. So it's the phrase separation of church and state. And yep. I love the phrase because I believe in the separation of work and home life. Work and home life. I want you to have your work done so you can be present in your home life. And that was part of the foundation of the Perfect Week formula. So it was also part of the Perfect Day formula. That was the concentrate on what counted at night. But now I just gave more guidance and more examples and more stories. And here are the things that allow you to do that. And when we're able to do that, there's a whole lot more stories in this book, which is why people say it's their favorite book of all the books that I've written, even though I didn't necessarily write this book.
Yeah, that's another reason why.
But there's more stories, and we finally put more examples of, if you're this, here's what you can do. And that's why it's connecting so well.
Yeah, I love the different examples that are in it, because, I mean, we all love stories, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we hear stories like Danny, so many of us can relate to that. You know, that's one of the big things that comes up for members of my accelerator mastermind. They all experience that. Well, not to say all of them, but most of them experience that. Like you said, myself included, that when we get to the end of the day, that transition time is really challenging, or can be really challenging. And, you know, it's often, you know, like my brain does not shut off. Sure. And so many entrepreneurs, you know, fall on, you know, with that is, you know, they get home in the evening, or as soon as they get up in the morning, boom, the brain turns on and they're not present necessarily for what's going on. And and as you mentioned, I've really worked on that this year, but I hear that time and time again, that when people get home, that They're still looking at their phone. They're still, and no judgment here. Like, hey, I've totally been there. We've all been there, but it's such a good lesson. And to hear different stories about how people have overcome this thing. I love that idea of putting the phone to bed.
Right. And because that's such an important or difficult thing for people to do that shut off. One of the things that I teach, which is actually, I taught this new thing first that I'm going to share with you in a second. And that led to the phone thing. But so my friend Isabel, I don't know if you've ever met Isabel Price. Isabel de los Rios is kind of her stage name in the nutrition world.
I know the name.
Very, very successful business selling nutrition products at beyonddiet.com. And she was one of the many people who work at home. And when you work at home, you know, the kids are in the other room and it's like, when are you really not the parent? And when are you really the entrepreneur sort of thing? And she was struggling to make that transition. And so I was like, I know what I can do. So she's got her office and, you know, she would leave the office and go be with the kids, but then her mind's still in business. And I said, okay. And I talk about this exercise a lot in Unstoppable and in the Perfect Week Formula. And it's called the brain dump. And the brain dump is simply a little ritual that you would do at the end of the day. So let's say you have a traditional 5 o'clock quitting time. Okay, about 4:45, you take out a scrap piece of paper or a journal or whatever it is, and you just write down all the stuff running through your head. All the errands you got to run, all the things you want to do, all the calls you got to make tomorrow, all this, that, and the other thing. And you just like, just vomit it out there. And it's like getting the junk out of your head, the clutter out of your head. And you actually should feel a whole lot better just having it spread out. I use the analogy of like taking, somebody put 10,000 jigsaw puzzle pieces in your head and now the brain dump takes all 10,000 and just spreads them out across the table. It still doesn't fix it, but it makes you feel a whole lot better. And I said, okay, Isabel, what you're going to do is now you've got all that stuff out of your head, you're going to organize it in a priority to-do list for the next day. So, you know, these five things, they just don't make the cut. These two things, I have to get these done before noon. And then here are the errands that we have to do that, you know, you have to pick the kids up at school. Like there's no way around not picking the kids up at school or this, that, or the other thing. And you've got it so you know what the day looks like tomorrow. And then you can do a little bit of planning to make that number one priority easier to get into in the morning. And now you can walk out of that room. And in fact, what I told her to do is take that piece of paper and put it in a desk drawer and shut that drawer symbolically so that you're leaving it behind and you switch from super entrepreneur to super mom like that. And easier said than done, sure. But with practice, you can become very good at it. And one last thing I'll say on that is when I read Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, which was a really good book, I thought, when her husband passed away in an accident, but when her husband was around and he was the CEO of SurveyMonkey, so he's a big wig, and she was obviously the COO at Facebook, they both left the office and they were able to drive home and get home for dinner at 5 o'clock, be present with the kids. There was no phones, blah, blah, blah. And then they both went back to work either at home or back to the office, but they made that separation of work and home life. And I thought that was really wonderful. And I think that however you have that separation in your life, it's something that I would be surprised if it didn't improve your life if we all aspired to that, being able to have that shut off. And I think you'll just feel better, first of all, but the quality of the relationships you have will be impacted in a great way.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me to one of the points that you talk quite a bit about in the book. And that is this whole concept of non-negotiables. Mm. What do you mean by that when you say, you know, have non-negotiables in your life? And also, how do you keep yourself to those non-negotiables?
Yeah. So I use the story of date night, which was another real impetus for writing the book. I do these workshops and I hear from clients all the time, you know, tell me about your family life and what you want. And they say, oh, you know, we want to have more date nights. And I go, great. How often do you do it? And I mean, date night, that is. And they say, well, we do it once a month. I go, oh, that's it. We have date night once a month. And I go, well, how often would you like to have date night? And they say, you know, every week. And I go, okay, like this is not rocket surgery. If you want to have date night once a week, it goes on the calendar as a non-negotiable, because right now everybody's date night, most people's date night is negotiable, right? It's okay. Tuesday night, we're going to have date night. We're going to go for dinner and a movie, and 3 o'clock Tuesday hits and you're like, you're in the crap storm, right? And there's all these things, deadlines, fires, you know, website down, blah, blah, blah. And at 3 o'clock you text your partner and you say, okay, just dinner tonight because, you know, I got to come back and fix this thing. Then 4 o'clock hits. You're like, oh, I'll just pick something up from your favorite restaurant and we'll have dinner at home tonight. Pick Chick-fil-A up. And the next thing you know, date night has disintegrated because it was negotiable. It was negotiable. And actually earlier this year, Rick, I don't know if you remember, but the Toronto Raptors won the playoffs and that's where I live. And I remember I was with my dog at a park and I heard this girl, you know, one of these young girls whose voice is so loud. And she was like yelling into her phone. She's like, we're supposed to have date night tonight. My boyfriend invited all his friends over to watch the basketball game. And you can see, like, to the boyfriend, date night was negotiable. To her, it was non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And when you put stuff on your calendar that's non-negotiable, like you got to call up the lawyer. That's not negotiable. You can't cancel that. Or a trip to the dentist. You can't cancel that. Mm-hmm. Or a personal trainer appointment, and it's within 12 hours. And if you don't go, then you get charged. That's a non-negotiable. So you need to treat all the things that you put on your calendar for your personal life as non-negotiables. That means, though, that if you put something on the calendar, it is put on there in stone. And most people put too many things on the calendar because they know that they can cancel it or whatever. And when you cancel things all the time, it really actually hurts your self-image because you're saying, oh, I made a promise and then I didn't keep it. So I'm, my self-confidence goes down.
Yep.
So the whole point of the book is to really build your business around your life and not your life around your business. So what that means is most entrepreneurs, we look at our calendars for the week and we fill it with work. And then we go, oh, if I don't have anything to do later on, I'll just fill that time with work too. Then the next thing you know, we're like, all I do is work. And that's right, because you let work fill all of your voids and vacuums. Now, if you flip the script and you go to your calendar first and you put on date night and you put on your workouts and you put on family time and you put on family movie night and you put on trip to grandma's for dinner, and you put all that stuff on the calendar first, mm-hmm. and you say, these are non-negotiables. Then the analogy that I use is like when you take a kid bowling for the first time. And when you take a kid bowling, what do? You put up bumpers around the gutters so that they don't throw a gutter ball. And these non-negotiables are put on your calendar so that you don't roll a gutter ball in your life. Now, this is not about never working. And this is not about a 4-hour work week. This is about putting the stuff on so that it actually makes you a more efficient person. One of the, as I mentioned before, like this was one of the things that got me thinking about it was my friend Bedros Goulian, our friend Bedros mm-hmm. Goulian, Bedros. And and Bedros has 55 employees. He has a franchise with 800 locations and about 500 franchisees. I have 3 locations for his Fit Body Bootcamp. So I'm one of his franchisees. And this is a guy who is busier than, the one-legged man at a butt-kicking contest. And he's so busy, but every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, even if I've flown in from Toronto to do something with him during the day, he'll say, hey, everybody, I'm out of here. You guys are on your own. It's 5 o'clock. I got to go home and get ready for date night. It's non-negotiable on the calendar. And if a guy who has 2 kids, multiple businesses, 55 employees, if he can do that because he takes it so seriously, then we can all do that for the stuff that really matters in our life. And that then got me thinking about, because, one of the objections, Rick, to all my stuff is like, hey, you're the 40-year-old single guy. How can I take your advice seriously? Well, Bedros is older than me, has kids, has a bigger business, and he can do it. So don't tell me you can't do it. And then I can just find, 100 other people who I've worked with that are the same sort of thing.
What about the argument? I don't want to say it's an argument. Let's call it a mindset. And I am very guilty of this too, that when we put those things on the calendar, let's just say not necessarily in the evening time, but during the day, that we're going to get less done because there's a quote unquote interruption in the middle of the day.
Sure. Well, if you think about the couple analogies here. So first of all, what does Bedros's day look like if he has to finish at 5 o'clock? No ifs, mm-hmm. ands, or buts.
Yeah.
It's like the person who's going on the Mexican holiday, I got 2 weeks in Mexico, or I got a week in Mexico starting next Wednesday. Well, you darn well better believe their Tuesday is going to be one of the most productive days of the year.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing. If you know that you have to go and leave and do something, and that means you only have a 7-hour workday, then you're not going to waste the time. And here's the thing is I actually challenge entrepreneurs like you and I who love to work and who will let work fill in these voids, that sort of thing. I challenge them to say, you know what? Put that massage on the calendar on Thursday afternoon. And you're like, internally, you're going, no, resisting this, you know? And it's like, well, that's a really good test. If you can't walk away from your business for an hour and a half on a Thursday afternoon with something that is planned a week and a half in advance, do you really got a business or do you got a job, right? Yeah. You got a job, not a business. And so this forces you to think and plan around that and delegate more and be a real entrepreneur, not a job, a high paid employee, for which most people are. So that's a really good challenge. And I want people to consider it. And if you're up for something like really twisted, I can walk you through the blackout game too.
The blackout game?
The blackout game is not, it's a new planning thing that I have that's not actually in the, in the book, but I used it on one of my clients who's a lawyer today. He's like, whoa, that's crazy. That's really helpful.
I want to hear what that is.
Okay. So I've never talked about this before. So the blackout game is like the positive side. I also call it the cancer game, which is like, whoa, what are you talking about? So anyways, I came up with this because in 2004 and 2006, my friend Alan Cosgrove had stage 4 cancer. There is no stage 5, but he beat it twice. So he beat stage 4 cancer twice. And he was in the hospital for about 6 months. And while he was in the hospital for 6 months, his business grew because he had the systems in place. He owns a gym up in, I think it's Newhall, California, or somewhere up there. And that's powerful. And so the blackout game, I challenge everybody listening. I'm going to say, what if, and so this is a positive side. I don't want to give everybody cancer. Right. So it's like, you got your cancer, you know, no, instead you got 2 weeks in Italy, dream holiday. But the only way that you can go on this holiday, all expenses paid, you and your partner to wherever you want, whether it's Rome or Tuscany, the only way you're allowed to go on this holiday, and as soon as you break this rule, the holiday's over, is that you have to black out from work for 2 weeks. Think about that. Think about, you know, we're doing this in December for probably for like a January release. Now think about this. This is a great planning thing for 2020. What if in July or August of this year, you got to take your dream holiday, even if it was 2 weeks, you know, vacationing in the a park, you know, in Northern California or something, right? Like, but it's off the grid 2 weeks. Could you do it? And the answer for most people is no, they couldn't do it mentally or they couldn't actually do it systematically in their business.
Yeah.
But here's the challenge. You've got 6 months. You got 6 months until you black out. And here's the cool thing. If you're up for this challenge, you go and you post on your Facebook page right now and you say to your friends and to your team members and to all these people, you go, hey, in July, I'm going on trip of the lifetime. We're going 2 weeks to Joshua Tree or whatever. I'm going to be 100% unavailable. I am not checking in. And I actually forced my business partner in one of my Fitbody bootcamp locations. I forced him to do this for 2 weeks. I said, you're not allowed to check in with the team one time when you're gone. Because, you know, I like doing this. It's easy to do on other people. But I also want our business, our systems to run better. So if you think about that and you go, okay, 2 weeks of summer or in 6 months or 9 months from now, I am not allowed to do a single work-related thing, to send an email, to text message, a phone call, nothing. How would you prepare for that? And if you start preparing for that, one of the things you need to do right now is go and schedule that massage, because if you can't step away for a massage, how are you going to step away for 2 weeks without freaking out? Yeah. And it's all just like these little victories, and you go, okay, whoa, I went for a massage in the middle of a Thursday afternoon and, you know, I survived. Yeah. Okay. Now
and
let's
the business
take,
is okay.
Yeah. Now let's take Friday off next week. What? Yeah. Let's take Friday off and no, you don't get to work Saturday and Sunday. Let's do that. Oh my God. And then it's like, oh my God, I did it. And then you're not allowed to use your phone all day on Saturday. What? No, you're not allowed to use your phone all day Saturday. I'm going to take your phone away from you. And it's just these practices. And then you build these systems so that you can deal with those things and you can deal with the coming back from it. And the next thing you know, you are a true entrepreneur who has a business that can run without them, without you. And you no longer have just a high paying job, and you can do this on a regular basis. And at the end of your life, you aren't going to remember all the work. You're going to remember those blackout periods.
Yeah, that's so true.
Which is different than the blackout periods I had in college, which I don't remember.
Hey, my friend, real quick, if you are an online expert, you're an online educator, you're a course creator, you're a coach, you're a consultant, etc., and you've already achieved a certain level of success in your business, but you're now spinning your wheels to get to the next level, whether that's to break through six figures, maybe multiple six figures, or even seven figures, you very likely do not need another course or to read more books. What you need is a cohesive growth strategy. I'm now taking applications for my next six-month Accelerator Mastermind. So if you're ready for coaching, support, community, and accountability in taking your online expert business to the next level, then my six-month Accelerator Mastermind may be for you. So to learn more and schedule your free strategy session with me to find out if you might be a fit for the accelerator, go to rickmulready.com/accelerator to apply. Again, it's rickmulready.com/accelerator. Okay, let's jump back in. So what about the person? What would you say to that person? I love that. And I'm going to try that myself.
I know.
The person who's getting their business going, they're early on. They don't really have consistent revenue yet. Maybe they don't have a big team. Maybe they have just somebody part-time helping them out.
Yeah. Okay. There's certain stages in life in which you would do something that extreme. And then sure. There's certain stages where it's like, hey, you take 2 weeks off a business in your first year, you come back, you might be starting a new business. So we got to be honest and that sort of stuff. But if you have something more established and you have team members, then yeah, you've got to push yourself on it. Now, what I would say to that person is don't get to the point that I got to, Rick, where, you know, it was working all the time. And it was like, I had to learn how to have fun again because I'd gotten so far away from all the hobbies and sports that I did. And it was just like, oh, Thursday night, I don't have a work-related dinner, so that means work-related work. You know, I don't want you to get to that point. So, So start the challenges now with like, okay, I'm going to take July 3rd and 5th off and the 4th off. And you know what? Nobody's freaking working. If you're an American and you deal with American companies, nobody's working on those days anyways. And so take the extra days off and you realize, okay, I was able to do that. And you actually know the funny thing, Rick, is the way that I came up with this mindset was from my personal trainer days. And I had so many, you know, you get so many people coming in and saying, you know, if I don't do an hour of cardio a day, I'm going to gain 5 pounds. And it's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Like actually most of your metabolic rate is determined by your organs. It's not even your exercise. Like if you burn 2000 calories in a day and you exercise and you burn an extra 300, like you don't have to exercise every single day.
Yeah.
And so that sort of thing, it was like, I had to slowly wean all these cardio addicts off cardio. And it's this, the analogy is with work, right? Like I got to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Otherwise my business won't grow. Well, it's not true. You need to work better. You need to think more and work less in the business. Classic E-Myth by Michael Gerber, that sort of approach. And that's where I started putting some of these things together that have helped people.
You mentioned something really key there. I want to kind of go back to, you said, think more.
Oh yeah.
Talk about that.
Thinking. I mean, everybody here has experienced this. We go to a seminar and on the way to the seminar in the airport, in the airplane, you are like, oh my gosh, I've come up with 3 or 5 great ideas. I've finally been able to think through that problem. And if I learned nothing at this seminar, it was already worth the money that I paid to go to it. I actually, Rick, I have clients. This one guy, he owns a $20 million a year straw company. And they sell straws, but they're ocean degradable straws. Like they're made of a material that can degrade if you throw them on the streets, not plastic. This guy has, and I've heard this of other people too, gotten in an airplane in San Francisco, flew to Tokyo, turned around and came back just to work on stuff.
Is it really? Seriously?
Yeah. And I've known authors who have done that trip to write the book because we all know that we've all had times where on an airplane, we got a bunch of stuff done and you're outside of the distractions and the regular world. And it's just a different space and our brain operates differently in spaces. So the whole thing with your thinking is you have to make sure that you plan thinking time. So you and I are going to do some thinking time. We're going to do a planning session for 2020 for you. And it's a structured thinking thing. And you have to do that. I do structured. We had our quarterly planning the other week. It was it was one of the best meetings we ever had. We had people, you know, zooming in from all over the world because my team's remote, and we had the right questions asked in the right sequence that allowed us to build out a really great plan. Now, what everybody listening should do is take some time on a Saturday morning and do an hour of thinking, no electronics, get away, pen and paper, get into a park, get into a coffee shop, whatever it is, you're going to think better in those locations. So the thinking is the hard work. It's not doing the stuff. It's the thinking, the strategy, the planning, the saying no to things, the evaluating, is this the right opportunity or is this the right opportunity? And using, as Steve Jobs said, connecting the dots in reverse based on the experiences you have so that you make the right decisions going forward. I mean, you're in the Facebook ads world. I mean, that strategy, that strategic thinking, that's where all the magic happens, you know?
And that goes back to what you were saying about getting things on the calendar, putting that on the calendar. Like, this is 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever.
Yeah. The greats put creativity on the calendar, and the amateurs think that creativity comes through inspiration, but Stephen King, 9 o'clock every morning, same desk chair, same office that he's written Pet Sematary in, 9 a.m. until he's done 2,000 words at about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon every single day. And if he's writing a book, that includes July 4th and Christmas. If he's not, he takes the holidays. But otherwise, 9 a.m. till 1 p.m., 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. schedules in his creativity. And that's a professional.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I want to kind of talk a little bit about, I have a few more things I definitely want to get to. Now, you mentioned Stephen King writing the book. One of the things that you and I've talked about in the podcast here, shared my experience with it, is, you know, that 15 minutes in the morning when you first get up, just tackling something that is really going to move the business forward. And you talk about something that can leave a legacy for you and your work. And that could be anything. That could be putting slides together for a webinar. That could be writing a script. That could be, you know, writing a sales email. It could be writing a book, you know. I mean, obviously you're not going to write the book in 15 minutes, but
15 minutes a day, 6 days a week, and three months, you can have a 30,000 word book.
That's what I mean. So talk about that. And then also, I'd love for you to share this story about how this book was written, the Perfect Week Formula book was written, because you shared this with me before we started recording. And I was like, holy cow, we have to share this because this is really, really smart in how it was done.
Yeah. Thank you. So back to the 15 minutes. When I was a struggling personal trainer in 2002, and I didn't want to be a personal trainer, I wanted to have an online business, and I knew the path to do it. But the thing is, a personal trainer, you're like a waiter. You have this split shift where it grinds you into the ground. You're from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. and then from about 2 till 7 p.m. And if you try and work on things when you get home, it ain't happening. You know, you can barely keep your eyes open. It's like somebody sticking glass in your eyes. So I realized, you know, here I am, like late 20s, like, who the heck wants to get up at 4:30 in the morning in their late 20s, let alone any time in their life? But I knew that if I continued to get up at 5 o'clock and get the bus downtown Toronto and live this life, I'd never get out of it. So I got up at 4:30 in the morning, and it was about 15 to 20 minutes. First thing every morning, I worked in my online business, and 15 minutes every single day, 6 days a week, sometimes seven. In 18 months, I was free. I had a six-figure online business. And so I understand the value of 15 minutes of work. And here's the thing, if you do that planning and preparation the night before, there's something that can be magical about what your brain does overnight. I'm a huge believer in the power of the subconscious mind. And so if you say, hey, brain, first thing tomorrow morning, you're going to get a workout in by writing this chapter of the book. And here are the three subtopics you're going to write about. When we wake up in the morning, you're going to be ready to go, right? And brain goes, yeah, okay. And then you wake up, and I've had days where like 1500 words pours out of me like water. And it's like, I can't believe if I could have typed faster, it would have came out faster. And it's just as fast as I can type, boom. And so I realized the power of that. So if you string all that together, if you brain dump, then do your to-do list, and then do a little bit of planning to make the path smoother. And then you tell your brain, work on this overnight. And then you wake up. And there's even some authors who believe that writing at that time, you know, early in the morning when you first wake up, allows you to be more creative because you're not judging yourself and you're kind of tired and groggy, and it just comes out and you're like, whoa, that's actually really good. It works for a lot of people. So if you do that every single day, and you do that on work that isn't necessarily urgent, you know, or Yeah, it's not urgent. Like, it's the non-urgent important work from, you know, Stephen Covey's four quadrants or Eisenhower's matrix or whatever it is that you want to talk about. Like, there's urgent important work, like replying to clients and, oh my gosh, the air conditioner in my gym broke. We got to deal with that. But if you spend all your time in urgent important dealing with broken air conditioners, you're never going to spend time in the non-urgent important work, which is planning the quarterly marketing for early 2020. And if you never spend time in that non-urgent important work, whether it's writing the book or creating the Facebook ads or the webinar or the on-stage presentation to mastermind pitch or whatever it is that you want to do that will really help you make the big leaps in your legacy and build generational wealth or whatever it is you want to do, well, you'll always be struggling. You'll be stuck and struggling and spinning your wheels, and it'll just be like, why can I not get ahead? And the reason why you can't get ahead is because you aren't making time for what matters. And so 15 minutes, you're just like, what can you get done? Well, an expert can write 500 words in 15 minutes. And they're not perfect words, but 500 words, that's 3,000 words a week. In 10 weeks, you have a 30,000 word book. That's not a huge book, but it's a big enough book or webinar script or whatever it is that you want. Yeah. 15 minutes at a time. It's absolutely powerful. And this can also be used to overcome any problem you have in life. So if you're in $5,000 worth of credit card debt, if you wake up every single morning and spend 15 minutes thinking about how you can get out of credit card debt, how you can increase your income and decrease your expenses and find other opportunities, you can't tell me that you would find another way, or there'd be another way for you to get a credit card debt faster than 15 minutes in the morning. So that's why I'm so big on it. And I really, really challenge people to do this even before your morning routine, before your meditation, before your yoga, before whatever, just do it. Try it for 30 days and let me know how it goes. And you will have a new habit that will be really helpful.
Yeah.
And so that's the 15 minutes in the morning.
So you wrote this book. Well,
quote unquote wrote
the book.
Yeah.
Tell that story. I mean, there's a couple more things I absolutely want to get to within the book, but I think it's really, like I said before, really smart on how this book was written. Cause he wrote The Perfect Day Formula, he wrote Unstoppable, and this book, like you're getting people telling you like, this is the best book you've written. And you're like, I didn't write the book. You did, yeah. But you didn't talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's my best book for a couple of reasons. One, the stories. Two, I didn't write it. Three, I had written two other books before and learned all of the wrong things the hard way. So if you go back to The Perfect Day Formula, what did I do? I wrote a series of essays, essentially, and got to a point where I had 300 pages of information, of really good information. And I was like, I don't know what to do now. And my friend, Matt Smith, who you know, who owns Early to Rise with me, said, hey, go to Tucker Max, because Tucker started this company called Book in a Box. It's called Scribe Media now. And he said, ask Tucker for help. So I went to Tucker, and usually what they do is they interview you and they put together the book for you, which is what I did for Unstoppable. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I had already written it. So they assigned me an editor, and the editor took my 300 pages and sent me back 100 pages, but didn't send me back the 2 years of my life that came along with those extra 200 pages that they took away. So the thing is, and then we went back and forth 9 times. And I remember the day I was sitting in the Ritz-Carlton in Istanbul, watching the sunrise over the Bosphorus Sea. And I sent my final edits. And I was like, this is like one of the best moments in my life, because I've always wanted to write a real book, not just a fitness book. And so that's how the first one happened. So I looked at that and go, okay, oh, I don't want to do that again. So I'm going to go and hire Tucker's company for Unstoppable and do the entire process. And I had done the process before for a fitness book, where essentially somebody comes in and they help you design an outline for the book. And for everybody listening who wants to write a book, the outline is the most overlooked but also probably the most important part of a book. So any amateur will go and just like put together this decent outline, and the book will be decent, but not great, because the outline is the key. And I learned that from Ryan Holiday. And so I took the outline to Tucker's company, and I had a great editor. I forget the person's name, but they put it in a better order. And then we wrote the book through a series of interviews. And they then try and match your voice. They try and write in your voice. And I thought we were doing a good job with it, but it didn't come back properly. Now, here's the thing is, I was writing the book Unstoppable to be read. Sometimes you write a book simply as a business card. And if you're writing a book as a business card, doing it that way, totally fine. totally fine. Like you want a 75 page book that you give to clients so they understand what you do and they hire you and they don't even read past your bio. Great. That served a purpose.
Yep.
But for me, Unstoppable, we wanted everybody to read it, to love it, to, you know, review it, to say it was great writing. The stories were awesome. And it was also really my biography, essentially. So I rewrote every sentence. And I also made a claim to people that it was going to be ready for my event in November of last year. And I thought I had until like late October to finish it. And this was August when I decided to rewrite it. And I was told, no, you have until the end of September in order for us to print the books, Craig. Well, don't forget about the printing of the books. So I basically sat in a chair and glued my butt there from 4:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. for 35 days in a row. It was one of the most difficult things. It almost destroyed me because my dog was dying at the same time too. Mm. So I got this poor old dog, and then, you know, we had to put him down halfway through that. And then I also had to travel and do my masterminds and everything. I mean, it was like, it sounds like, yeah, you sat in a chair, but it was physically one of the most difficult things that I've ever done in my life. But I'm very proud of the work. And so that was Unstoppable. And it's like, okay, well, that didn't work out either. So how the heck do we do this better? So here with Unstoppable, it was got the content, got to go find somebody to write in my voice. With the Perfect Week formula, we went find somebody to write in my voice first. And when we were comfortable with that, this young man named Austin Gillis, who works for me now, then it was like, okay, well, now we can put together the content. It's very similar. The analogy is very similar to if you're hiring somebody. You can go and hire somebody on skill, but if they're the wrong culture fit, they're a horrible hire.
Sure.
But you can hire somebody on culture fit and teach them the skills. So we found a guy who could write in my voice. You know, it could have been a woman, of course, but we found a person to write in my voice. I downloaded all the stories, and they'd seen my presentations on it. They got it. It's a very simple concept. And he wrote an amazing book. And then I got it. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I'm gonna have to dedicate like an entire week to go through it. I read it. It's like, I hardly need to change a thing. And then as we were talking about before the call, we outsourced the editing. So I have hundreds of clients that get a weekly email from me. And I put in my weekly email to my clients, hey, I'd love a favor from you. If you'd like to read my new book in advance, I'd love for you to make suggestions on like, what do we need to explain better? Grammar mistakes, all that sort of stuff. Let's do a little trade. You get an advanced copy of the book and I get feedback from you. And we had 25 people take me up on it. They read it over the weekend, got feedback really quickly, and we improved the book and made it even better. Although many people are saying, wow, this is great already.
Yeah.
And it was a combination of all those things. Not only did it give us our greatest book, but we turned it around faster than any other book. So for everybody out there thinking that writing a book is hard or that they have to do it all, there's other ways to do it and get it done fast and be able to reach a lot of people. And as Rick, as you and I were talking about, there's more stories in this one. And that's been another big thing is that people really love the stories in it.
Yeah, I agree. And because we can connect with those stories.
Mm-hmm.
One of the early things you talk about in that book is what you call the billionaire time matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So before it just used to have a very boring name, but then we realized we need to have something sexier. And the truth is I actually got a lot of the concepts from Oprah, who's a billionaire. So it really is the billionaire time matrix. And I came up with this thing at Christmas of 2018. So as I mentioned, my dog died in around August. It was like August 28th, 2018. So I lost a Choco Lab. Choco Lab's at 12 and a half years old, not requiring a lot of work. You know, it's like kind of like 20 minutes in the morning and then he's pretty much done. Now, fast forward 3 months, I'm like finding myself sitting on my butt all the time in the morning. I'm like, I miss my morning walk. I miss having a dog. But 12-week-old dog, very different from a 12-year-old dog. And I realized my schedule right now is not conducive to me owning a dog. I need to change some things. So I love Christmas because, you know, go back to that thinking. I spend a lot of time thinking over the holidays. My team is off. My coaching clients are kind of taking it slow. Yeah. I just sit there and I read and I think and I scribble things down. And I came up with this matrix, which is four questions that will help anybody make 10 hours in a week, save you 10 hours in a week. You don't find time, you make time. You make time for what matters. And so the first question for everybody to ask is, what do you hate doing? What do you hate doing in your business and in your personal life? Now, for a lot of these things, you're not going to be able to get rid of them. But if you hate something, maybe you can move it around on your schedule. Maybe it is something you can delegate. Maybe it is something nobody needs to do. But I realized I hated doing calls in the morning because that was my magic time for writing. Mm-hmm. And if I hated it, not only was I losing the time that it took to do the thing, but it was taking a lot of energy the day before. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, why did I book a call tomorrow morning? I'm such an idiot. I needed that time for writing. And here I am, you know, wasting all that energy on it the night before. So think about, and all I did was reschedule calls. I didn't stop doing calls. I just rescheduled calls. So think about something that you hate doing and fix it in a way that gives you back some time. The second thing is, what should you stop doing? This might be the most important question of it all.
Yeah.
Because if you take a look at your day, and you can also do this for your team members, to go like, if nobody in the business did this thing that you're doing or that I'm doing, would our business suffer? And the answer for a lot of things, whether it's reading this person's email newsletter or doing this or going to this event, or, you know, we're all just doing stuff, maybe to keep busy or because everybody else is doing it, where it doesn't matter. And I found, you know, I've done a lot of podcasts for the book, and I've gotten to the point where I'm doing podcasts for, like, you know, I know this person has an audience of 25 people, and here I am giving them an hour of my time plus the 15 minutes before and after for a transition. I'm like,
sure.
Okay. Like, I would love to be on every podcast, but yeah. I can't do it. You know, you just can't do it. Oprah can't be on every, you know, podcast either. Right. And so eventually you got to go and say, here's the line, here are the parameters. I only get on podcasts that have X number of downloads. And it's the same with speaking. I only go and speak at events if they pay me X amount of money. And it's a stupid amount of money. And it's not because I want the money. It's because I want the time so that people will say, no, we can't afford you. And we need to put those parameters around everything in our life. Like, no, I can't go to dinner or I can't do a coffee meeting unless it's XYZ. And that will make you a whole bunch of time. So what can you stop doing? Then the classic, what's not your job? This is, what can you delegate? And this can be personal life too. Like, is cutting the lawn really your job? You know, you were put here, you spent $20,000 so far in your career on learning how to be great at Facebook ads and YouTube ads and all this stuff. And now you're spending 2 hours on a Saturday morning cutting your lawn and you don't love doing it. Like, if you love it and it's meditative, great, do it. But if it's not your job and you were not put here on this earth to cut your lawn, and you could go and make $500 in a Saturday morning working on some client work, but no, you're saving $40 to cut your lawn, you got your priorities all messed up. And so what is not your job, both in your personal life and your professional life, then you'll make a bunch of time that way. That one's probably the one where you make the most of time. The stopping one's probably the most important thing for your sanity. And then finally, the last one is, be honest, be brutally honest. What are your distractions? And once we find your distractions, how can we build a fence around you so that you stop getting sucked into those distractions and you have more time for what matters? And if you ask those four questions, I'm shocked. I'd be shocked if somebody said, no, that didn't save me 10 hours in a week. I bet you, like, some of those one and single questions will save you 10 hours in a week.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I had time to get a puppy.
Because you ask yourself the same questions.
Because I ask those questions and I change my calendar.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is, people think, oh my God, well, I'm gonna have to hire all these people and do all this stuff. In most cases, it won't cost you much money or any money. Like, to stop doing something, not gonna cost you anything, you know?
Right.
And for me, all I had to do was get a Calendly link subscription, so $10 a month, and not allow anybody to book a call with me in the morning. Okay, I won that one for $10 a month. And then I had to just go and have a conversation with the people who I hired to do things already and say, like, I don't know why I'm doing your job. And it's my fault. It's not your fault. Right. I just haven't delegated enough to you. So let's talk through and make sure that I'm delegating everything to you that you were hired to do. And they were like, yes, thank you. Finally, you know, and
they appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, thank you for trusting me. Like, that is why we hire people. We hire smart people, and yet we hold on to their work. No, yeah. That's not the point of this. You know, we gotta fix things.
Yeah. I want to kind of finish up with two topics that, and one of them you mentioned in the very early on, which I want to finish off with that one. But you mentioned in the book, the three foundational habits of your perfect week. And we probably already talked about them sort of throughout the conversation here, but what are, like, let's list those out. What are the, in your mind, what are the three foundational habits? like I mentioned, we've been talking about them. I think number one is setting up that time in the morning to be super clear on what you want to be doing, what, you know, getting that, at least working on the most important thing for you, for yourself in the morning, and then really getting clear on how you're going to be spending your time on the calendar and focusing first on the personal stuff in the calendar and then putting business stuff around it. We're just actually talking it out right now, listing it.
So, I mean, so if we go back to the phrase, build your business around your life and not your life around your business.
Yep.
And if you sit there and think, okay, how do I want my life to look? Do I really want to be working 12 hours a day, 5 days a week? And in most cases, you're going to say no. Here's what I want. I want these things in my life. I want to get back to playing this sport. I want to get back to doing dance lessons. Like, what's the point of life if you can't do those things? Now, again, I'm not saying not working. I'm a huge proponent of doing quality work and making an impact and creating jobs and all that sort of stuff. But I really think that we could all be doing a better job of doing those things while working less. Because we all have heard these stories about people who work less. And, you know, Richard Branson, who just sits there and thinks all day. And you know what? Most of it is, most of the answers to this stuff is becoming a better leader. When you become a better leader and you shed those things to great team members that who do those things better than you, and you coach up your team members to perform at a higher level, and you give them the opportunity to go and learn and attend events, and you let your ego go, all of a sudden you become more of the chess master in your business, the empire builder, the strategic thinker, and you're not getting involved in the business. You're getting involved on the business.
Yeah, that's huge.
And you're going to work hard. You're probably going to work mentally harder in this approach. It is not an easy approach. And you're going to have to grow personally in the letting go of things, especially if you're like me and come from a blue collar background where it's like, hey, you do all the stuff yourself. Who are you to hire somebody to do that? Who are you to not do that work? And we all have to overcome some of that, especially the female entrepreneur whose society has, you know, put so many expectations on. I mean, but here's the thing. I love speaking to female entrepreneurs because I'm the single 40-year-old white guy that comes in and says, hey, don't cook any meals. And they're like, what? You know, like, just because your mother-in-law thinks you have to make every peanut butter and jelly sandwich and cook every dinner, that's not what you were put here to do. You're an entrepreneur who was put here to coach people up or run Facebook ads or something like that. And when you finally give them the permission to do that, they step back and they stop doing those things because they're not, you know, like, they're not put here to do the peanut butter sandwiches. Other people are really great at making peanut butter sandwiches, and they're here to do that for you so that you can go and do bigger things. And it's just, it's looking at the world in a different way. And then once you've looked at the world and your time in a different way, then now you just need to go, okay, I have opened up space for what matters. And this is where, again, mentally, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard mental work for you to figure out what matters and what doesn't. And every, you know, you and I, and pretty much everybody listening, we have nothing but first world problems. Yep. First world problems. First world problems are too much opportunity, too many cool things we can be doing, too many shiny objects to go and push. What the heck should I be doing? And it's going to take some ruthless self-reflection and ruthless critical thinking for you to go, okay, wow, this is so hard, you know, and especially if you put energy and money into a project to kill it, to kill that project so that another project lives and thrives is incredibly difficult, but it is one of the smartest things that you can do if it's the right decision. And I've actually shut down gyms. I've lost $50,000 on a gym before, because if I didn't shut down that gym, I would have lost $100,000 on two gyms because neither one of them would have survived. Mm, and so now I've got one gym, but it makes more money than the two of them were making put together when they were both alive. That's a tough decision, but when you make those decisions through hard mental thinking, it opens you up for greater success. So the foundations are, do something important early in the morning before you get into your regular work. And when you've done that, you have a victory that moves you ahead and gives you momentum and motivation. The foundations are being able to step back and think so you know what actually matters. And then the other foundation is to block the times for the most important stuff. And it's just, it's really looking at the world in a different way than the average person was taught. You know, the way that we went to school, we were taught to look at how the world works in a black and white way, you know.
Yeah.
But now I'm asking you to think in rainbows. But when you can get it, man, then it's like taking the whatever pill it was in the Matrix.
And I'm still getting it, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, don't get it overnight.
Yeah, yeah. I want to finish off with this whole concept that you mentioned very early on, the 7x7 grid, mm-hmm. where in your London workshop, you kept pointing to this grid that you created. Like this was, you kept going back to it. And it was really the basis, the foundation of this whole concept of the perfect week formula. So what is the 7x7 grid?
Yeah, so I wanted to keep all of the planning so simple. And it was just, okay, we got 7 days. So that's obvious. And I thought, you know what? 2 to 3 hour blocks. Think about that over the course of the day. So if you do 7 2-hour blocks, that's 14 hours of wake time. And yeah, there's going to be some transition time in there, but that's essentially what you got to work with, right? Maybe 16 hours of wake time. And so it doesn't have to be a minute by minute planning. It's just simply, this is the theme for this couple of hours. You know, you wake up in the morning and yeah, you're going to do your morning routine, but before you do that, you do your block of work. Okay. That's block number one, pretty much every single day, maybe not Sunday. Maybe Sunday you do planning and reflection instead, but Monday through Saturday. And I'm a huge believer on working for a little bit on Saturday morning because nobody's bothering you and you're going to be more creative. That's a great day for planning and thinking. Okay, you got that block. And then at night, you're going to have blocked out for family time. And then you might have a block in the middle of the day on a couple days per week when you take care of yourself. You do your workout, you go to massage, whatever it is, and you're treating yourself like a professional athlete. And then you're going to have block where it's date night. And then you're going to have a block where it's family time on the weekend. Maybe it's family movie night on Friday. And then you're going to have blocks on Sunday. I recommend people have blocks, you know, 3 to 6 hours where they use no electronics and they build up a tolerance to not having their phone with them all the time. And then that way, when you do that on a Sunday, you actually check your phone less on a Monday and for the rest of the week. And if you can build up, I actually, at one point before I started Instagram changed me, unfortunately, but before I started Instagram, I shut all my electronics down at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night and didn't open anything until 6 o'clock on a Monday morning. Now it was insanity when I opened it up again on Monday morning, but to not have any electronics for 36 hours, man, when was the last time anybody listening to this did that? But it trains your brain in a different way. So all of those things give you the opportunity to challenge yourself and push yourself. And it's just, if you look at your week as 7 blocks per day, so a 7x7 grid, it just becomes a whole lot simpler than thinking, oh, for this 15 minute block, I'm going to do this. In 15 minutes, you're like, oh, whoa, you're going to go drive yourself crazy. But if you have those theme blocks, you have a general template and you fit into specifics the night before.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. This is so good. Like we could talk about this for hours. We've been going for a while.
Everything brings up another, like, well, what about this? And what about that? And I know somebody who this, and we cover a lot of those things in the book. There's hardly any major objections that we didn't hit.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of this. So I want everybody to go, what's the best place for people to get this book?
Perfectweekformula.com, the classic free plus shipping there, or Amazon for the ebook. And the audiobook won't be available until February of 2020.
They're recording that now, right?
Yeah. I got my final session tomorrow morning.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Craig, thank you so much for coming back on perfectweekformula.com. Everybody go get the book. It's free plus you pay what shipping, like $8 or $9 or something like that. Definitely check this book out. The other books that Craig has written, Unstoppable.
Yeah. Entrepreneurial anxiety. If you really have stress and clutter in your head and you don't know where to go, that is the book for you.
Yep. I blew through that one in, I don't know, like 2 afternoons or something.
Oh,
like that.
Cool, man.
Really, really good. And so Craig, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Super appreciate it. Everybody, again, please go check out these books that Craig has written. Really good stuff. Stuff that's really helped me, especially like I've talked about, you know, I struggle with anxiety and stuff like that. And it's been super helpful for me because it's, I mean, what we talked about today, it's building your business around your life. And, you know, the whole concept of more structure actually equals more freedom. So thank you again, my man. Super appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. This was a lot of fun.
So good. I could talk to Craig for hours. Hey, don't forget, if you are an online expert, meaning you're a course creator, you're a coach, you're a consultant, you're an online educator, and you've already achieved a certain level of success, in your business, whether that is, you know, you're making $3,000 to $5,000 a month in your business at least, or maybe you've already broken through six figures and you're trying to figure out how to scale the business, but you're now spinning your wheels to get to the next level, whatever that next level is for you, then I want to invite you to apply for my 6-month accelerator mastermind, which we are kicking off next month again. So just to be clear, this is not just a Facebook ads mastermind. Rather, this is a one-stop shop for cohesive growth coaching to help you take your online business to the next level. This is about coaching. This is about community, accountability, and support. Okay. It's application only. And if you'd like to apply, go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. On that page, I just recorded a new video for you. Actually, I recorded it at our most recent live retreat here in San Diego, beautiful beach house overlooking the ocean. And I take you inside what's going on, what we're doing at the retreat there. So definitely check it out if you would like to apply, rickmulready.com/accelerator. Okay. Coming up on the podcast, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way. Cannot wait to bring that one to you. Again, thank you so much for listening today. Happy holidays to you. I'll see you right back here for the next episode here of the Art of Online Business podcast.
Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about 5 simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions, but what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.